My name is Christine Yule, and today I'm here with Scott Mandelker. And I came across his work in 2016. It was at a time in my life when I was looking to deepen my capacity for self-honesty. It's like I knew there was something more. I knew there are deeper levels of myself that I needed to meet and process, but I was stuck there. And one thing I realized is part of it was my unwillingness to meet negative truths or anything that was, quote, not positive. And I was kind of caught in the just be positive, just look at the positive. And he just really assisted me tremendously to look at the whole truth and really seek wisdom with love. And on all sorts of levels, we dove into that regarding my personal and professional life. And so today I have him here today, and I wanted to look at the bigger picture, really taking a look at the current global process as a planet, as a human collective and various subgroups of the collective, and at the personal and individual level, perhaps articulating layers of what's unfolding so we can more accurately feel into our personal response to it, how we see it, what we're noticing, perhaps naming deep fears we have or we're witnessing in others, and how we can skillfully work with our own process and help others as we progress. So welcome, Scott. Thank you for being with me.
Yeah, thank you, Christine, for interviewing me. I'm glad to talk with you again.
So perhaps where we'll begin, what are you noticing in the current global process? What are the things you're most drawn to pay attention to or track currently?
The proliferation of dogmatic opinions, interpretations, a lot of a massive amount of information and conflicting opinions, and a lot of people who certainly are believing and trusting whatever authorities tell them without independent thought that much, and others who I would say value independent thought more, and the interaction between those two groups or individuals of those two groups, where we talk to somebody and they have a certainty as to what's going on because they believe what they've been told. Meanwhile, there are many alternative perspectives. In general, there are a couple of there's a phrase that comes to my mind often is that the science is not settled. So we're talking about coronavirus and the response of politicians and health so-called experts and mainstream and alternative views, and then individuals participating in the process in different ways. The science isn't settled means actually the authorities that are telling us what's going on have chosen a certain portion of the scientific community to be their advisors. Meanwhile, the science behind the testing methodology and coding of cause of death is questionable and complicated, and there are other authoritative voices that are excluded generally from the discussion. And then at the individual level, a lot of people in fear and panic, and other people in disgust at the fear and panic, and a lot of people confused and upset, and obviously a lot more stress and realistic concerns about the future, a more authoritarian national condition in many nations. I think it's a little bit like a gut punch to humanity, because to me, people, one of the main messages here is to the folks, the masses, the regular folks, everyone who's not in a position of political or medical authority, is you can't control, you can't run your own life. We can tell you when to go out of your house and when to stay home, and we'll fine you or arrest you if you do what we're not, what we say you can't not do. And a lot of people looking at the prospect of indefinite unemployment and indefinite uncertain income. And I think there's a very heavy, nefarious, there are heavy, nefarious agendas going on. Certainly moving towards increased authoritarianism, lockstep scenario like the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010 talked about, authoritarianism from top down. And a lot of people are seriously demoralized and discouraged and rightly upset and even going to depression that their life is no longer under their own control. Even though it wasn't fully before, it's even less so now. And I've been busier than ever, actually, with counseling work. So that's an introduction to what I'm saying.
Thank you for that. And so what would you say, especially to those groups, which I think are a big part of the audience, or those who have listened to this conversation, who are really, you know, seeking or on that path of love, unity, and witnessing, say, the mainstream collective in, you know, complete disorder or deep fear, or just wearing masks and scurrying around and avoiding their neighbors. It just seems like there's a disconnect. It's almost like how to, like, is there a way to bridge those gaps? Are we here to witness what's happening? Like, how directly, I guess, can we be involved in, I guess, educating the public or supporting people to come out of fear? Individuated, but do you have any comments on that?
Sure. Yes, it's all specific, and there's no blanket guidance, I think, for how to be with each person that we're with, that we, for whom we may be of service, or with whom we're talking and sharing. It's a question of skillful service, and the way from love to unity is through wisdom, and so higher chakras 4, 5, 6, 7 particularly depend on development of 4, 5 or heart chakra, throat chakra, green, blue color, commonly in the Hindu system, which really means the qualities of acceptance and care and kindness and harmlessness and discernment, honesty, commitment to truth, and a certain willingness to surrender personal preference to the truth of the situation that at least we need to see clearly. And in working, in talking with anyone, I mean, we've got family, we've got friends, we've got associates, and then clients that we may be working with, or strangers that pass us by, and acquaintances, all these different classes or types of people that we have, with whom we have interaction. What's most important, I think, is to see their mind clearly. And that means to use our own emotional field as one of the bases of understanding. Like when somebody talks to me, what am I feeling they're feeling? Well, that's pretty straightforward. They may be in fear. They may be angry. They may be discouraged. They may not have any strong emotional process either. Then a sense, again, of what can I do here, or what are they asking for my help? And to some degree, everybody who approaches us wants something. It may not be much of anything. It may be simply the chance to have someone who wishes to listen to them without interrupting. And so the skill in service, which in Buddhism is called upaya, skillful means, skillful approach, is having the wisdom to understand the appropriate balance of love, wisdom in any one interaction and how that changes over time. The skillful or wise balance of love, wisdom is particularly the balance between quiet acceptance and feeling and caring, which is generally attentive listening or care without advising, without informing muchly, but leading with love and care and receptivity and unconditional acceptance, and then following up with wisdom, versus leading with wisdom based in love. And that means some people will come to us, or some people we're with will plainly express confusion or concern about something in the current situation or their personal life, and ask directly, what do we think? Or ask for our perspective. Most people won't, actually. They'll just be sharing their process. In those cases where it's clear they're not really asking, they're really just wanting someone to speak at or with or be heard by, then the leading is with love, which is basically being a receptive, caring field of attention. And then in the case where that person finishes what they need to say, or then goes to the level of wisdom questioning, or questioning our perspective or opinion, or what do you think about it? Then we're talking about leading with wisdom, or being as authentic and accurate about our current understanding as we can be, and remaining sensitive to when's enough enough. You know, we may enjoy hearing our own voice. I do, or I like talking. That's not usually the best for the other. Dialogue is generally better than monologue, and that sensitivity is really important. And if we're upset, we're probably not in the best space to be of help. We generally need to move to more greater balanced, peaceful mind before we can be most effective in service to other through that more sensitive dialogue process. So I think that's just an introduction to service by communication.
Thank you for that. Yeah, one thing that I'm noticing, say, especially on Facebook feeds and with different people, is almost a number of people wanting to scream to others, like, wake up, or almost as though everyone's in the same boat and are going off a cliff, and it's almost like it's last minute, got to get everyone awake. And I love what you said that just there about really inviting people to step into that space where they're in a good place to be of service to other, rather than from that upset or that surge of emotion or just intensity around the urgency of the need for people to become aware.
Right.
What would you say, or how would you speak to those, if someone were to come up to you in that position of, you know, wake up, people need to wake up. Like, how would you work with that sort of perspective consciousness?
Well, I mean, I would first agree. I wish everybody would wake up. Yes, me too. That's, in a sense, leading with love, or based on our preference and hope, which is sincere and not selfish. I wish everybody was walking in love, wisdom, and everybody was good to each other. I wish the whole world loved me, and I love the whole world, and we're one happy family. I wish that was the case. But, realistically, then we go from preference and sentiment and heart to wisdom or discernment or realism, and the reality is, first of all, we have our own subjective definition of waking up, and we should be a bit humble and realistic to understand that what we think is waking up is probably just some level or quality or degree of a greater awakening and understanding. And we have far to go too. We're not finished. And so waking up is not a one-shot deal. Enlightenment is actually not a one-shot deal. In Buddhism, they're considered four stages or levels of awakening. And only at the end is one finished fully with ignorance and conceit. The people who would say, I'm so angry, I'm so upset that they can't wake up, I would say, first of all, obviously, screaming at others to wake up is not skillful service. Not everybody wants what you want. They may think they're woken. They may not even know what you're talking about, wake up or sleep. They believe what they're told by, let's say, example, television or friends and family. They don't think they're asleep and needing to be woken up. They think they understand what's going on and they don't even know what you're talking about, wake up. They will say, like with the coronavirus, there are all these deaths. Everybody's dying. It can go 12 feet in the air and sit on a surface for 3 days and this and that. Frankly, I don't really know. But I certainly wouldn't say either you're totally wrong, you're totally deluded, or yes, I agree, yes, yes, yes. Because many of these things are beyond our certainty, or beyond certainty, and the science is not settled, as I said. So the first thing is that the person who's really dismayed at others so-called sleeping and screams they just got to wake up and feel so frustrated is in many ways caught in anger and aversion. And I agree. It would be nice if we were walking in a world of bodhisattvas, but we're not. And clearly seeing the others to whom we wish to be of service is job number one. And clearly getting a sense of what's helpful and what's not is also critical. It just is not helpful to be dogmatic and aggressive in the face of what we see as a significant distortion. Meeting fire with fire, you know, burns everyone, right? As Gandhi said, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. So meeting distortion with non-distortion is the great challenge. Meeting distortion with love wisdom is the challenge in the work. And I would say most of the people who are caught in anger at the ignorance of the masses or the ignorance of most people, the ignorance of government, all of which I agree with, more or less, are caught in anger as a response to sadness and helplessness, generally. Generally, under the anger, frustration, enragement at their sleepiness or asleep, we have hurt. We have some kind of heartbreak and sadness, and then a feeling of weakness and helplessness, because the truth is we can't wake them up. Only self can wake up self, or help self can heal the self. And we can't wake them up. They can only, you know, nobody woke you up or me. We got to do it ourselves. And so in the raw material, they talked about something like the near hopelessness of attempting to be of service. And they said, service is effective only to the degree it is requested. And so we can help them to help themselves, because that's what we're doing. We can only help them to wake themselves up with information to the degree that they really both consciously want it and intrinsically can use it. Some people want more than they can use. Some people can use much more than they want. That's a very fine distinction. Some people are more free than we think they are, or more receptive, or more ready for learning and growth than we think they are. Others are far less than they believe themselves to be. That's another matter, right? Somebody who says, tell me, then I might tell them, or we talk in the session. At the end of it, they ask the same questions they asked at the start of the hour, because they weren't really listening or taking it in. So I think when we're upset, it's a sign that there's something wrong with us. Now, the world is a mess, yeah, and there's lots of ignorance and lots of selfishness and lots of greed and distortion and negativity. I wouldn't disagree. But we can know it without being upset. And so Ra also said, for the perfectly balanced entity, no situation would have emotional charge or be trigger to emotional charge, but would be a situation like any other in which one could observe an opportunity to be of service. Meaning, we want to be of service, or we want to be helpful, we want to be a friend, we want to treat others like they treat us, which we wish to be treated kindly and helpfully by everyone. Meanwhile, if there's an emotional charge, we're being triggered, and there it's a sign we have some work to do. And under the anger, frustration is usually sadness and some weakness and helplessness. And looking into that, we would realize that actually we are very limited in how much we can help others wake up, and the direction of society, and the collective, and civilization. And this is a very, very bitter matter, because at the end of the line, people who are deeply looking into this will say, well, where are we going? 1984, Brave New World, Elysium, Oblivion, right? All these movies and texts that gave dystopic futures, dystopian futures. We see it happening now. And the reality is, it could look like a nightmare, a living nightmare we wake up into the morning in. Yeah, that could be felt. That's not saying that's the only truth or that's some absolute reality. There is the metaphysical. There is God. There is higher self. There are the angels and higher beings. And there's a plan. And there's divinity all here. And it's all the play of God and light. Yeah, okay, I got it. But at the collective level, it looks pretty bad. A lot looks bad to me. And the reality seems to be that we have very limited influence in changing the collective. We have no political power. You know, we really don't. Now, we can protest, and I would never say, don't do this, don't do that. Do whatever you think is best for self and other. Do whatever you think is best for self and other. Certainly, whatever seems to be harmful or leads to consequences that are bad for you and the other should not be repeated, because you'll have more bad consequences for self and other. But underneath that frustration at others' ignorance or apathy or indifference or sleepiness, ignorance and following the commands of negative leadership, is the bitter truth that we can't do a heck of a lot more than develop ourselves and be a positive influence for those friends and family and others that are simply truly receptive. And and so there's a saying from I Ching, actually from Chuangzi, Taoist sage Chuangzi: if it's straight, I help it along; if it's crooked, I leave it alone. And so some conditions of distortion are simply unworkable. And I think that's unfortunately the case with many people who are not looking for learning. They don't know that learning, that they ought to be learning or listening or looking within, and that they're not, their perspective needs work. They don't have a view of self-correction, self-improvement. Self-correction, self-improvement is important, I think. And most people don't think that way, seems to me. And society as a whole also is not on the positive path or in the way of valuing love and wisdom and, you know, qualities of heart and a higher consciousness. So the receptivity of individuals as a subset of the lack of love in society is unfortunately muchly beyond our ability to control. And we have to accept that and grieve the loss of influence and grieve the continued incarnation in a somewhat darkening society in terms of consciousness and freedom, and determine our best way forward, which will be unique for each person.
I love that. I think another thing I'm noticing in moments in myself and others is oscillating between there's something I can do, or I think what you're naming, that helplessness or sadness feeling of there's nothing I can do. I'm noticing in some people kind of that hero template coming out, or that savior, or the like pronouncing that the new world is coming. Like, what would you say to kind of the people who want to override the intensity of the negative agendas with kind of that hope of that new earth or what's just around the corner?
Well, I think,
or that this is just a pause with nature breathing or something.
Well, my you know, my commitment, my values that from which I'm speaking to you or from which I form ideas, first of all, is a commitment to truth or a love of truth, regardless of my feeling and preference. And the second is, and that really means seeing clearly the short term and the long term, the near and the far, the small and the great, the unimportant and the critical, to make all those distinctions and to see things clearly. I completely agree that a better future is coming. I completely agree that there will be dimensional shift, there will be a new age, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the meek shall inherit the earth. I'm not a Christian. I take truth wherever I find it and determine whether it's critical or lesser important truth. And I think we're on the cusp of planetary ascension, evolution, just like many sources talk about. And this is the activation of Earth's fourth density body, or heart chakra. It's the beginning of fourth density, fourth dimension, Earth becoming a four-dimensional planet, where only those who are committed to love and truth will remain. And that's in the raw material called the harvest, and that is the singularity, and that is the new heaven, new earth, presented in Christianity by Yeshua, seems to me. And it is important, I think, to get clear on the short term and the long term. And I totally agree with people who say a better world is coming, this too shall pass, these are the birth pangs or the death throes of the old system and the birth pangs of the new. I agree. I would not use that in a spiritual bypassing manner, right? Spiritual bypass being a kind of pseudo-metaphysical override or suppression of painful emotions and truths. And so the painful emotions are, like you've said, frustration and dismay, discouragement, anger, sorrow, grief at the present situation and how little we can do to change it deeply, and the suffering of people and the ignorance of people. I mean, we have our own ignorance too, you know. And so, but our isolation, we can't talk deeply with so many people. That's painful too. And that's the near term. That's the present close at hand. Then there's the further, which is the planetary metaphysical big view of what's happening. I'm firmly convinced that this is the end of a cycle of evolution. Third density, associated with third chakra, the lessons of love. Ra said, third density, the purpose of third density is to learn the ways of love. And the purpose of incarnation is evolution of mind, body, spirit. So we're here for the purpose of evolving what we are, all we are, on the positive path, which we are on. And the purpose of third density, learning the ways of love, most people here haven't. Most people have a lot of self-blame and self-deception and fear and lack of commitment to truth and honesty. And so Earth is a school for souls who've not yet learned to love. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we need to see the present, the present darkness, as a necessary, actually, it seems to me, necessary karmic return and karmic outpouring at the end of the third density cycle before this world is given to those that value love, and to see the present in the light of the eternal or the big view of planetary evolution.
Yes, and for everyone listening, I highly recommend listening to Scott's YouTube video on Apocalypse and Armageddon, because I think you did a really great job on looking into the deeper meaning of those words, you know, the time of reveal or, you know, the end of a cycle.
Right.
And so those who, desire that love, unity, positive path can look at those terms in various ways so as to not only see the fear-based understanding of what that means in the visioning of just the end in total chaos.
It's not the end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of a cycle of planetary evolution. And briefly, I would say it's a time of a time of apocalypse, or it's apocalypse at the time of Armageddon. Apocalypse means revealing. Book of Revelations is the book of the apocalypse. So time of, or an age of apocalypse is a time in which much that's hidden is now being revealed. Much that has been hard to see can be more easily seen by those who value deep knowing and seeing clearly. And Armageddon is a final cycle-ending conflict between good and evil, which is love versus control, or truth versus dishonesty, or seeking versus apathy. And what we see in the world is people aligning themselves in different positions. Some of us are reinforcing or doubling down or strengthening our commitment to harmlessness, love, and honesty, wisdom, discernment, truth, and service, and continuing to work on ourselves. And others are doubling down on control and manipulation and deception. Others are panicked or head in the sand or just trying to avoid their painful feelings or the process as a whole. And this is really quite necessary given the conditions of consciousness and the various groupings of seeking or non-seeking on this planet. So it's, a major transformative time and a major stressor. It's very stressful. And so people need to do much to keep taking good care of themselves. We can't be of much service to others if we're not well, or at least in relative balance and healthy physically and mentally centered in a peaceful heart, a clear mind, as much as we can, and return to that. So,
well, I think that's a great reminder, and there's so much that you named in this brief time, and I really thank you for joining me for this conversation. And I think it's a really a great way for people to just get to contemplate right on various levels of what's unfolding, and then do what we can to help and balance that love and wisdom and go deeper in our personal process and meet the triggers or meet the sadness and despair. So thank you for articulating so many elements of what's unfolding, and I'm sure it'll be of benefit to a lot of people to hear the message and get to see where they are or reflect more deeply on their process regarding this whole unfolding.
Yeah.
So
good. That's my hope.
Yeah.
And thank you for making this opportunity available. I'd be happy to talk with you anytime, and we can get through this. We'll all get through it. Honesty and a kind heart is are critical, I'd say.
Yes, and for everyone, I will put links below the YouTube video to Scott's YouTube channel, and he also has a website, scottmandelker.com, so that'll be there.
Good.
And I just appreciate this time with you so much, and perhaps we'll do a follow-up conversation in a month or so and see where things are at then.
Okay, and thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.